Niall, what can you tell me about peregrine falcons?
Peregrine falcons are truly amazing birds. Mm-hmm. They're probably the bird that first captured my imagination when I was a little kid. And I still remember seeing my very first one. Birds of prey, to children particularly, to anyone of any age, they're really cool. But the peregrine falcon, it is the fastest animal on the planet. And this blew my mind when I was a kid, because we're always told, well, the fastest animal is the cheetah. And it is when it comes to running on the ground, and they're very fast. They can go up to 120 kilometres an hour, which is very impressive. But the peregrine in flight can reach speeds of over 350 kilometres an hour. I think that the highest recorded speed ever, accurately recorded, was one doing a dive after its prey from a height. It reached 389 kilometres per
wow.
hour.
Wow.
Astonishing. And they're beautiful looking as well. But to me, they were always like the pinnacle of evolution. This was like the ultimate bird. They look like fighter jets. That's what they look like. We nearly lost them. They nearly went extinct. And now you can see them again quite widely across Ireland again. So they've made a resurgence, and it's one of those success stories. It's always nice to have a success story in nature. We get so much doom and gloom, so many species under pressure. Well, peregrines are doing well again.
Where do they traditionally nest?
So they would normally nest on cliffs, sea cliffs, and also inland cliffs. Then they'd be found in quarries, places like that. And they're a very widespread bird. They're found in a wider area of the world than any other bird species. They breed and occur across six continents, so all continents except Antarctica. You can find peregrine falcons. So they're very efficient at what they do. They hunt other birds and they nest usually in cliffs.
Well, tall buildings that we have here in our cities are just man-made cliffs, are they not?
Exactly. They make a very good proxy for a cliff. And of course, within an urban area, you have lots of pigeons, which would be probably the favourite food of a peregrine falcon.
And a good place to find peregrines right now is in Cove in County Cork. And that's where we're going right now, to our man on the ground there, Jim Wilson. Jim.
Well, Derek, thank you very much indeed. I'm here in Cove on a beautiful sunny evening, a little bit breezy, but absolutely beautiful. And I'm with Alan Farrell, who your listeners should be familiar with now from the Dawn Chorus last year and a number of contributions to the programme, a good friend of the programme, and also Alan McCarthy. And Alan McCarthy was the man we spoke about, the Barnalls before, and hen harriers. And this evening we're talking about another bird of prey, which is the peregrine falcon. And really, I think I'll let Alan Farrell take up the story from the beginning, because Alan really has been the mover and shaker in getting this project to where it is. Alan, can you give us a sort of a review of what it was like?
Sure, absolutely, Jim. Yeah. Well, I suppose it all started when we became aware that there was peregrines on the cathedral spire. And I mean, that wasn't news to any birders in the Cork locality, because I'd imagine there's been peregrines on the cathedral spire since it was built. Back in, I think it was 1919 when the spire was added to it. So that wouldn't be unusual. But what we were hoping to do was to prove that they were actually nesting in the cathedral. And as luck would have it, through a chance introduction, I managed to get up there a couple of years back and do a full survey of the whole spire, basically, with a view to seeing were they actually nesting up there. But unfortunately, we didn't find any nests at that time. So we came to the conclusion that they weren't nesting there. But strange one, because we were seeing juveniles there late in the summer. So the theory then was that they were maybe bringing in juveniles from elsewhere and using the cathedral basically as a learning platform where the adults would show the youngsters how to hunt. Because what happens is, as soon as the youngsters fledge the nest, they're still dependent on the adults to feed, basically, until they learn the skills of hunting themselves. So We still do have an active peregrine nest within a couple of kilometres of the cathedral, but it's actually in an old derelict chemical plant. Now, unfortunately, that plant is planned for demolition, and the actual tower that they're nesting in is due to be demolished within the next couple of years. So basically, we were anxious to maybe provide another platform in the locality where we could maybe entice these birds in to nest still within the Great Island Cork Harbour area. So what happened was, we basically made approaches to the clergy and the powers that be within the cathedral itself, and we found we were pushing an open door once we explained what we were about. And what the peregrine is and what they feed on, because would you believe there is a feral pigeon problem in the cathedral, where they've been known to get into the cathedral and upset proceedings in there. So basically, as I say, we were pushing an open door. So it all happened back in, it was actually, would you believe it was New Year's Eve? I'll never forget it. It was actually New Year's Eve in 2022 when a good friend of mine built the box in his workshop. We disassembled it and we had to get it up the cathedral to the location where it is at the moment. So that was a daunting task because the tip of the spire of the cathedral, would you believe, is 300 feet high. And the platform, the area where we were going to mount this platform, is actually 200 feet high. Now, what you have is inside in the guts of the cathedral, basically, you have a spiral stone staircase, which was built back in the day. So we basically disassembled the box and had to hump the whole thing up to 200, up to 200 feet and reassemble it in its present location in one of the mini turrets on the side of the cathedral. Yeah, everything was going swimmingly. That was the, as I say, New Year's Eve 2022. And lo and behold, the peregrines, a pair of peregrines showed great interest in it in the spring of 2023. So we said, yes, fingers crossed, this looks very promising. But alas, they didn't nest in it. Despite a lot of activity, both adult birds in and out of the nest box regularly, showing the typical courtship behaviour. But unfortunately, we got a look into it from a local high point and no eggs or chicks that year. So again, the same thing repeated itself in the spring of this year, spring of 2024. A pair of adults showed interest in it again. And this time, the behaviour was way more positive. They were doing a lot of food passing, where basically the male would fly in with prey and a female would come out from the cathedral spire and he would pass it to her midair. A spectacular sight if anyone has ever seen it. And to see this basically over our own, over the town. I mean, we're in a very urban environment here. The town of Cove is a big town on the south coast of Great Island in Cork Harbour. And to be able to see these fantastic apex raptors going about their business over the town of Cove was absolutely fantastic. So again, we managed to get a look into the box in early spring of this year, 2024. And lo and behold, we could see two fluffy grey balls in the corner of the box. So it was, to say the least, we were delighted. Thrilled was the word, actually. We've been basically monitoring the progress of the birds since then.
And then, of course, this is where the other Alan comes in, which is you're involved in a national project, I think it is, to ring these birds and find out more about them. So, Alan, could you tell us a bit about the project, what's involved, and then what you had to do at the cathedral, which is probably a nesting site you wouldn't be familiar with too often getting at and dealing with the chicks then?
Yeah, so it's a national project, a colour ringing project, which is coordinated by the National Parks and Wildlife Service. What we do down here in Cork is that we try to locate, you know, nest sites that we can actually access to be able to colour ring the chicks. So the idea of colour ringing the chicks is that we're able to tell then their survival rates, where they disperse to, where they end up nesting themselves. And that, of course, that's very valuable information in terms of, you know, learning about their kind of breeding ecology, their overall life history. So at this nest site, it was a very nice nest site to visit, of course. And all the ringing that we do is, of course, under license from the National Parks and Wildlife Service. So it was quite the long trek up the spiral staircase.
And of course, we had the ringing of the bells.
Indeed, yeah.
Pardon the pun.
Yeah, we had to
dodge. We had to pass the bells, yeah. Which was amazing. Yeah,
Block the ears, ready for the ding.
Yeah.
So it was quite a spectacular nest site, really. So we went out onto the turret where the nest box is, and there were two very healthy chicks. So there was one male and one female. The female was very good weight. She was over a kilogram, while the male
and
was...
And how old would she be at a kilogram? How many days old would she be, roughly, or weeks?
So when we ringed them, they were around 3 weeks old.
Wow. So in 21 days, she went from hatching to being 1 kilogram in weight.
Exactly, wow. Yeah. They really, really pile on the weight very fast. So both of the chicks were grand and healthy, and thankfully Alan has been observing them ever since, and they both managed to successfully fledge, and there's one of them currently perched up on the cathedral.
As we speak,
it's
amazing. And then, you know, we noticed the difference in, obvious difference in size between the male and the female, the adults, the parents. Do they begin as different sizes, or does the female outstrip the male as it gets to fledging?
So in the very early stages of development, they would be a similar size.
Look away.
But
okay.
Then within a week or two, the size difference would begin then.
Wow.
So like even when we ringed them, when they were 3 weeks old, the female was over a kilogram and the male was around 500 grams.
Wow.
So there was quite the size difference even at that stage. Mm. And it's not just in terms of weight, it's also in terms of tarsus length. So the female's tarsus is a lot longer than
their
the
leg,
male.
It's at the end of their
the lower
leg.
Part,
yeah,
of the
lower
leg.
Part of
yeah.
the leg. Is,
yeah, exactly.
Is,
yeah.
It's longer. Okay, yeah. So you can sex them.
You can, yeah. Yeah. So sexing them based on weight is fairly reliable, but of course there's a bit of a grey zone where both of them can be a certain weight. But if you combine that then with a tarsus and toe measurement, then you can sex them very reliably then.
From the studies being carried out in Ireland and elsewhere, do we have any idea, like, will these young birds wander? Because, of course, the name peregrine is an old English name for a wanderer. So do they wander a lot before they settle down?
They can do, yeah. Like with peregrine falcons, like they typically they can settle down within the first full year of their lives. So by the second calendar year, they can start to set up a territory.
Okay.
They don't typically breed, though, until the following year after that then. Yeah. So their third calendar year.
Yeah.
But like, for example, we have another nesting platform in the city. And we have a camera on that nesting platform, and there's actually an immature male that has taken up residence.
Right.
So that bird is only a year old now. So, like, we don't know where he came from. He could have come from, you know, far up the country. He could have been from Cork even. Mm-hmm. We don't know, so which is, you know, why we're doing the study.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they can settle very fast, essentially.
Okay.
Is it fair to say, Alan, that it's the actual male that holds the territory? So, because that's what I've been noticing here. Before the female showed up, the male seemed to be there. We have an annual bird race here, Jim, as you well know, on the Great Island. It's been running for the last 30 years. And typically it starts down the middle of the town on the first Saturday after Christmas. And the first bird always ticked on the Great Island Bird Race is the peregrine, because the first thing anyone does is turn around and look up at the spire. And typically it's always the male. So I'm just curious, is it the male holds the territory so over the winter period, for example?
Normally it would be, yeah. Yeah, normally it would be. The males tend to hold the territory. Sometimes, of course, you can get variation. If a male dies, for example, you might have the female hanging around. Sometimes the pair hang around all winter. Sometimes they both disperse. It's fairly variable between individuals and sites.
Yeah. You know, as Alan Farrell already alluded to, the other Alan, about them being a top predator, like, they're as noisy as be damned for a nesting bird. I mean, they really don't hide their presence.
Definitely
not. It's easy to find a nesting site by sound alone, almost. I presume it's because they don't have any fear of, they don't have to keep quiet.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, nothing will threaten a peregrine falcon, except a human being, unfortunately, which is certainly a big problem in Ireland in certain areas. But for peregrines in general, yeah, they don't have any predators themselves, you know, so they're able to shout as loud as they want.
And the prey, Alan Farrell, you've been observing them hunting. I've seen them hunt from literally using the top of the spire,
yes,
right up on the cross.
Well, that's a very good point, Jim.
What have you seen, and what sort of prey are they bringing in?
Yeah, as I mentioned previously, the very top of the spire on the cathedral is actually 300 feet, which is actually the biggest, it's the highest church spire in the country, would you believe? And what I've noticed is that when they often perch lower down on the cathedral, maybe two-thirds of the way down. But when they get serious and they're really going to, you know, look for something to bring into the, they'll move to the very tip of the cathedral. And when you see them moving up there, keep that's when you need to lock onto them, really, because any passing bird in within a mile and a half, 2 mile radius is fair game to them at that stage. And I've seen them doing the typical stoop and the high speed maneuver where they actually strike a bird in the air and bring it back in. Prey items was very interesting, actually, when we got up there to look at the nest platform. The majority of the prey at that stage, when we were doing the ringing, was actually starlings, particularly juvenile starlings. But I've been up there over the winter and did a little bit of a mini survey of the prey items that were up there, and was most unusual, actually. Just a lot of them were actually waders. Snipe, several snipe up there, black-tailed godwit, black-headed gull, plenty of feral pigeons, And even at one stage, I found the remains of a black-headed gull up there as well. So what I thought was interesting was the snipe and the black-tailed godwit, which would kind of suggest to me, because a peregrine falcon hunts in flight as such, and the majority of these birds, particularly in the winter, would be flying by night. So I was just curious. I wonder, are they actually hunting by night here because of the ambient light over the town and over the harbour area in general, you know? So further food for thought, I think. More research needed in that area, I think. But it's fascinating, yeah. I think, can you hear? You can. Oh, here, yeah. We go. We have a peregrine calling overhead. Right on cue. So what we have now, Derek, here is one of the adults is after coming into the location, yeah, the area of the main spire, and one of the juveniles is calling to be fed, I imagine, at this stage of the evening. So maybe they're waiting for the last evening feed. But in answer to your question, Jim, yeah, we found some unusual things. I got a bit of a clip, a video clip of the peregrine, one of the adults bringing in what I assumed was a coot when I looked at it initially, which was most unusual because we don't get coot on Great Island, would you believe? But when we analysed it further on the bigger screen on the computer, what we actually discovered was it was a juvenile moorhen, would you believe? Which I found was most unusual for a peregrine to take a juvenile moorhen, because they will take birds, water birds, for example, in some parts of the States. They're known as the duck hawk, I believe, Jim, is it?
That's
in,
correct.
Yeah, the duck hawk, yeah. Where they've been known to basically fly through wetland areas and scatter the flocks of waterfowl and waders that would be in there. So, yeah. The unusual one I thought, well, twice we saw it actually, was where the adult brought in a juvenile moorhen for the youngsters.
That really is very interesting to hear, because you're describing there that famous stoop that the peregrine falcon does, that dive from the sky from a great height at a tremendous speed, the fastest animal in the world. They can go at speeds of well in excess of 300 kilometres an hour. And they would normally do that quite high up. The birds would fly relatively high. Moorhens, I really don't think of them as being high flyers. They can fly quite well, but they fly low over the water or maybe between little bits of vegetation around reed beds and so on, not very high. So it would strike me that peregrine was taking a risk. If it did a stoop to get that, it was very close to the ground.
Absolutely,
because
it could go straight into the water. Yeah. And the other interesting thing you were talking about, Alan, was the nocturnal, do birds, you know, peregrines hunt birds nocturnally. Of course, with cities, there's an ambient light there. So, you know, that might explain why they might hunt during the night, because in some of the nests in the Dublin area where we had, you know, we have birds on Pool Beg, woodcock, for example, has been found. So are these birds, like the peregrines, you know, the theory is that they may be woodcock migrating over Dublin Bay, or are the birds, like the peregrines, actually going up to places like surrounding Dublin where there are woodcocks roading? So I don't really know. It's a very interesting subject.
It is. It's fascinating, actually. And as you say, I mean, when I was up there now, it was in the depths of winter, so I wouldn't be disturbing the resident birds up there. And so that would suggest to me that they were migrating birds that they were taking, particularly the black-tailed godwit and the snipe. Yeah, most unusual. And what I actually discovered they were doing was they're kind of caching, because most of these prey items were quite fresh. So they were kind of caching the food up there, is what I thought, maybe for leaner days ahead. I don't know. Who knows?
That would also make sense, you know, particularly in winter, because, you know, you could get really foul weather. Excuse the pun. You could get really bad weather. So it might make hunting really, really difficult. So they just put a cache there and they just sit there all day.
If you're going after migratory birds, it is a very ephemeral food source.
Yes.
You can't guarantee that, you know, that they'll continue to go. I guess that's one of the reasons why peregrines, particularly in urban areas around the world, not just in Ireland, tend to do quite well now. It's because they at least have a fairly ready supply of feral pigeons. And that's something that they can feed on quite dependably around urban areas. And in doing that, of course, then they're helping to keep the populations of those birds in balance. It's important, especially when you consider that the peregrine falcon, we nearly lost them, not just in Ireland, but globally. Back in the 1950s and 60s, they were hit very badly by a pesticide called DDT, which was used to control insects on crops. Now, these peregrines, they don't eat the insects or the crops, but what was happening was they were feeding on the birds that were feeding on the insects or on the seeds that were full of DDT. It didn't seem to have any effect on the birds themselves until it came time for the female to lay her eggs. And this chemical made the eggshells much thinner than they should be. And rather
brittle.
Very brittle.
And very brittle, weren't they?
They were, and they would break either when being laid or during incubation. The species was nearly wiped out. So it's really good to see them now coming back. DDT is banned in most places around the world, and it's taken a long time for the peregrines to come back, but now they have. They would have traditionally have been a bird you would associate with cliff areas and I suppose cities, and especially cathedrals. That's as far as they're concerned, a cliff.
Yeah, that's a cliff, yeah. I mean, they're nesting on the chimneys in Pool Beg, you know, in an S box there. So, you know, what a view. I always often look at the peregrines on Pool Beg, and whoa, what a view, right over Dublin Bay, down to the Wicklow Mountains. And from that height, you can look all the way up towards Carlingford. Oh, it's a fabulous view.
You'd like your private eyrie up there, would you, Eric?
I would, actually.
Are they taller than the cathedral spire, I don't think?
If
the cathedral spire is 300 feet. Alan, I think you said earlier it was 1919. We just
1919,
checked.
1919, Derek, when the spire was added, would you believe? The cathedral was actually, the construction of the cathedral started in the mid-1800s, but there was a lot of toing and froing, shall we say, with various builders' problems and architects changing plans, etc. And the main body of the cathedral was finished around the late 1800s, but the actual spire, which is the crowning glory, shall we say, of the building, wasn't added until the start of the 1900s, completed in 1919, I believe.
Just check there on the Pool Beg chimneys. one is slightly higher than the other. The higher of the two is 681 feet and 9 inches.
Oh,
which
wow.
Is,
it's a good view.
Yeah, yeah, 207.8 metres.
Wow. So twice as high as the spire.
Yeah.
And sorry about that, boys in Cove.
Okay, we'll take that hit.
Every time I'm in Cove and I look at the cathedral, I think of Laurel and Hardy, Jim.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, they came in here. My dad actually took, as far as we know, the only photographs of them coming off the ship. And as they were doing that, the father of the current Carillionaire, Adrian Gabrours, Staff Gabrours was his father, and he played their signature tune that you always heard.
The Cuckoo's Theme.
That's the one at the start of their films, and they were quite taken by that apparently. But my dad was saying that they were a little bit tired of so many people crowding around trying to see them, because when they came here, as far as I know, they were no longer at the peak of their careers, and they were doing a tour of, I think, Ireland and Britain and Europe. And he remembers them not being quite so. I think it was Ollie was the one that was not being so so polite and nice when they were coming off. And we've got great photographs that my dad took of that. And yes, so you know these peregrines we reckon are tone deaf, are stone deaf, or they don't mind them because they don't even flinch, and the bells are relatively loud. Like we had to go up past all the bells, all 48 of them, including the one that rings out at the Angelus at 6 o'clock every evening. That's St. Coleman, the biggest of the bells, and no problem to them at all. It hasn't bothered them. I mean, they think it's a glorified cliff, basically, you know, somewhere nice ledge. Lots of easy food nearby. I mean, they really are lazy in the sense that they can sit at 300 feet. In fact, 400 feet if you count the 100 feet from the water. So they can sit at a height of 400 feet and have the luxury of just sitting there waiting till they see something they want to try and catch. And then they literally drop off. And as they stoop, which is what they call when they drop, hitting in excess, believe it or not now, of, I can't believe it, it's over 300 kilometres, 350 kilometres an hour. And they reach that speed in less than 10, 15 seconds. And God help the bird that's at the receiving end of something moving that fast.
Oh,
and that's
goodness.
How it gets them. But fantastic to see. And the whole town now is aware of them because of the noise.
The whole
but
country
also,
is.
Yeah, no, superb. Really good. Well worth the visit. I mean, there's peregrine probably here most of the time. They're not very, very close. You'd need your binoculars. But they've got a nice safe distance. I mean, as Alan was saying, you're not supposed to go near the nests, you know, and you have to get a license to come and ring them and all that. So we're delighted that they've nested in a lovely secluded spot, thanks to the clergy and the diocesan committee who
actually
on
that point, Jim, could I just make a special mention and a word of thanks to Father Tom McDermott, who is the parish administrator here in Cove, without whose permission and encouragement, actually, we managed to get the box up there. And also Mr. Peter Daly, who is the maintenance manager of the cathedral, he was the guy that got me up there initially to carry out the initial surveys and helped with getting access to the cathedral from going forward. So thanks to both gentlemen.
All right, Jim, and another little bit of information for you. It says here, St. Colman's Cathedral in Cove. Perhaps the most notable installation is the Carillion. St. Colman's Cathedral has an impressive 49 suspended bells in total, which is the largest in both Ireland and Great Britain. So there you are.
That's correct. And every now and again, Adrian Gabrorsk does a recital to an audience of obviously thousands, because you can hear the bells sometimes from even across the harbour. And he plays everything from religious music right down to, he's even had the Beatles playing up there on the bells. And he uses an instrument that looks a little like the keyboard on a piano. It's not this thing, this vision of him dangling off a rope, you know, and going up and down like you see on the television sometimes. It's actually, he actually sits down, and you can find the videos online to see that. And he hammers the keys and plays some amazing music with those 49 bells.
Oh,
so they're
fantastic.
In good company up there.
They certainly are. Anyway, Jim and Alan the two Alans, thank you very much indeed for joining us from Cove in County Cork. Thank you, guys. Good night. Bye.
Thank you. Good night. Bye-bye.
The boys, absolutely fascinating stuff. I haven't seen a peregrine falcon for donkey's years, I have to be honest.
Oh,
no,
God,
I haven't.
No, I was watching one, you know, around Wicklow only yesterday, the day before. Yeah, it's they're doing okay along the East Coast as well. But I was thinking of Quasimodo.
when you were looking at me.
Yeah.
Jim's not that bad
sanctuary,
looking.
Sanctuary, yeah. Sanctuary.